Richard, you're at home in Bridgewater, probably sat in your underpants because I dragged you out of bed early, which is obviously quite a hideous thing to even think about. And probably, and even... All right, calm down.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. You can now listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5 p.m. on the website refereesworld.co.uk, or you can download it from your podcast provider, whether that be Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, or wherever. Thank you very much for listening. We also have a YouTube channel, so if you like to do your stuff on YouTube, you can listen that way as well. Just search out the YouTube channel. Of course, subscribe to us as well. Just search for the Referees World podcast. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Richard Mellon, who is a PGMOL observer and the Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator. And, of course, my esteemed mentor for 10 years or so now. No, longer than that, Rich, isn't it? It's got to be longer than that, hasn't it?
It's a bit longer than that, mate. And esteem, I'm not so sure, but, yeah, good morning.
It was just a case of building you up a bit again. You know how I like to do that. Put you on a pedestal and stuff. So just to set the scene again, we like to give you a little bit of a sense of day. It's a Saturday morning. The date is the 22nd of March on which we're recording this. The sun is shining. I am back in the studio in Taunton. Richard, you're at home in Bridgewater, probably sat in your underpants because I dragged you out of bed early, which is obviously quite a hideous thing to even think about. And probably, and even... All right, calm down. And our guest today, we're doing something slightly different today. Our guest is a student by the name of Sam Stone. Sam, welcome to the Referees World podcast.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on. I'm really looking forward to it.
No, brilliant. And I'm surprised that you're up and about being a student at this time of day. So congratulations on that as well.
Yeah, no, I got your email last night and I was like, oh, God, I've actually got to get up. But yeah, no, of course I'll get up for this.
Brilliant work. Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of a role reversal today. And Sam is a student. We'll go into a bit more detail as to what he's doing and why we're doing this. But Rich, today, role reversal, me and you are going to be interviewed on our own show.
Yeah, how unusual, how strange, how weird. I don't know the right description, but yeah, let's have a go at this.
First of all, Sam, tell us a bit about yourself, a bit about your background, where you are, what you're studying, and of course, why you wanted to speak to the Referees World podcast.
Yeah, so my name's Sam Stone. I'm currently a trainee journalist at the University of Brighton. I'm originally from Surrey, in Guildford. So yeah, and I write for a website called Overtime Online, and Overtime's like a website that's affiliated with our university. So we just put all our work on there to get published. I'm currently writing an extended feature on the impacts of empty stadia on the football world. So how COVID's kind of influenced the football world this year, obviously all games being played behind closed doors, and I'm currently just covering that in depth to focus on players, officials and fans. So this morning I was hoping to ask you guys a few questions on that topic and see what you think of my findings about what I've found. So yeah, I bet it feels weird for me to be interviewing you, but yeah, hopefully it goes well.
Well, do you know what? It's actually quite an interesting turnaround, this one, and it does make a change for us to be interviewed, although I have to say, obviously, I've never been refereeing in a massive stadium with 40, 50,000 people, so I wouldn't know what that's like, but I have refereed on empty playing fields, and I've been in a couple of smaller stadiums with not many people in. Rich, this is going to be an interesting one, I think.
Yeah, it is, because of the challenges of refereeing through the pandemic. So I look forward to it. And learning from Sam in his introduction that he's from Guildford, well, that's my territory as well. That's where I was born and brought up, and until I moved to the West Country back in whatever era or century it was.
I was going to say back in the 1800s. Rich, I've got to ask you, have you ever been in a large stadium to be an official?
My actual active last game on the Football League at the time was in the Championship, and it was a live Sky game, Wolves versus Fulham. It was Molineux, full packed, rammed to the rafters. It was a good occasion. Buzzing, absolute buzzing. I was senior assistant to a referee who's no longer with us, sadly, Billy Burns. And it was just a memorable occasion because it was my last game. Because it was the last game, that's the one that sticks out hugely. But when I think about the career going backwards over those years, I was only on for a very short time, really, because of age restraints at the time of when I was a match official. I got on in 96-97 season, and I came off in 2000 because the age criteria, I got on at 41 and you had to retire at 45. That was, you know, the rules then. But that soon got changed. And unfortunately, I was already off the list. But I was invited to the observers list or assessors list, as it was known then.
I think the closest I've ever been to refereeing or officiating in a stadium environment was a game at Ashton Gate in Bristol. And it was the under-18s, Bristol City under-18s, against Swindon Town under-18s. And I think this is going back in the days when Gus Poyet was a manager at Swindon Town, because he was there and he's a lively character. But the stadium was empty, but it was a nice experience to be coming out of a tunnel and coming into a stadium like Ashton Gate. So I can tell you what it's like to be on an empty stadium, Sam. So hopefully that's given you a bit of a background. So, Sam, it's over to you now then, mate.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting to hear, guys, actually. So firstly, I'm just going to kick it off. So I've done plenty of research on it. So in a normal world, the wayside tend to get punished slightly more in regards to yellow cards. They often get more yellow cards. So in a normal world, how and why do you see the crowd seemingly influence the referee a little bit or potentially make them give more yellow cards to the away side?
Thanks a lot for that. I suppose that's the... I mean, I've got no analysis to sort of compare with the question, but I suppose that's how it appears, you know. You hear all sorts of chants from the crowd, and they do impact on the game because there's... As match officials... It seems strange to say it, but we feed off the excitement. It doesn't have to be a large crowd, as I described at Wolves or Molineux. You know, I can go to the lower league clubs. I can go to Forest Green as I did, and then only be about 1,000 or 1,500 there. But the occasion in which you're going out there for is what you actually sort of puff up a little bit, if you know what I'm trying to say. You go out there, you have to have a calm, calculated approach towards what you're doing, what you see. So consequently, any of those things, when you think about people watching, they see everything you do. As an assistant, they see every time you put the flag up, or they're looking at you when they expect you to put the flag up. And if you go out there as a referee, it's exactly the same without the flag, but with the whistle. Every time he blows the whistle, there's a comment. Every time he doesn't blow the whistle, equally, there's a comment. There's you know, a collective audience there who demand and expect. So that's the pressures.
Yeah, I think there are referees, I believe, that do thrive on that big stadium appeal, Rich, don't you think?
Oh, without doubt. Without doubt. We, as referees, and that's collectively all of us as a group, we're football fans. That's why we took up the whistle. You know, we didn't take up the whistle because, you know, can't play football, so I might as well do something else and let's see if I can go and mess up a game type of thing. That's not that's what people will have you think, you know. Oh, you can't play it and you can't referee it. But no, that's not true. Let me say to you, the guys at Select Group 1, Select Group 2 and all the way down are capable referees. They are good at what they do. The fact that we've always got a mistake in our toolbox, that is what, you know, plays on our mind. We don't want to be wrong. We don't go out there to make wrong decisions. You know, if you think about players, they go out there to improve, to get better. We go out, and that's when they train on the training ground. That's what they're aiming to do, to make sure they get everything right. Well, we exactly the same. We don't train to get things wrong. We want to be right as well. But unfortunately, we do have, you know, those errors in our toolbox on occasions.
You've mentioned there obviously about kind of the occasion. Is there any kind of specific training that referees go for, especially at the higher level, that prepares them for like to ignore crowd cues or like social influence from the crowd?
In that time when I was a match official, there was a lot of self-learning. But since my time of coming off the list, There are now sports psychologists with the PGMO, and you know there is specific training given to our referees and match officials. I've not sat in on those sessions because I've not been involved, invited, etc. Because being an observer, we go to a game, and whilst everybody can recognise who we are, because some of us have been moving around the southwest in my region for a long time as a match official, and people get to know you, recognize your face. They may not know your name, but some do. And so consequently, it's a case of, whilst you think you're anonymous walking around as an observer, you're not actually, you know. You walk around, you're kitted in a smart suit. You don't have a badge because we don't want to be recognized for that. We don't have any sponsors on our kit. We don't want to be seen in that, because that will draw unnecessary comments and attention. So, you know, we try to be anonymous. We don't try to sort of engage too openly, because we don't want the wrong reaction.
Where Rich is concerned, he's such a short ass anyway. Everybody knows that he's there. So it's pretty obvious who he is.
So I've done some research, and obviously I've mentioned before that away sides often get penalised more in the aspect of yellow cards. This season, however, in Europe's top five leagues, there's been a drop in every single league for the amount of yellow cards given to away sides. Would you say this is like a direct link to there being no fans in the stadium?
I think you could be right there. I can't say definitely right, but I think you could be right. I also think there's a collective approach to sort of manage the game as best we possibly can now, and not issue out too many sanctions. So I would go along with what you're thinking there, and I'd like to see a little bit more analysis to come out and support that, because it would be very interesting to sort of read into that before we get back to watching football with fans in the stadiums.
Another piece of research that I've done, another aspect I've looked into, is Mark Clattenburg said in an interview with the Daily Mail that this was last year, just straight after the restart, that he felt that with no fans in the stadiums, referees might be a little bit too more relaxed and actually, in that case, make more mistakes. What's your opinion? What's your thoughts on this?
I can understand what the piece that's been written by Mark Clattenburg is suggesting, but I don't think that's the case. What has happened for our referees in empty stadiums, it's put a little bit more, expectation, pressure on to the fact that they need to focus a little bit more. A referee has the same inner thoughts as regards a spectator. He looks at the challenge and he goes, ooh. And that's a gauge for anybody. That's a football fan. We're football fans, as I said, but we're skilled, we're drilled as regards match officials. And so consequently, we still have that effect inside of, oh, that's not a very nice challenge. That's not a good challenge. So consequently, the focus and the concentration levels have increased since that first game, with no fans in the ground. So, yeah, I can see what the column might be suggesting from Mark Clattenburg, but I don't totally go with it, because, like I say, focus and concentration has had to improve, because with no impact from the crowd watching, and there is a bit of an influence, there is a bit of an impact, you know, there is an the crowd were given an opinion of what they think of the challenge, and that can come out in various ways. They might, or you know, suck the air in, they might boo, they might do something that, you know, does have a stated opinion about the challenge, but the referee is ultimately the person who's got to make the decision. So consequently, the focus and concentration has increased, and it's been, you know, the level of it has been raised significantly.
Can I ask you both this question, actually? Do you think the fact that there have not been fans in the stadium has meant that the media has highlighted certain incidents a lot more than they perhaps would have done? The two key incidents I'm going to talk about that have been the most discussed, I suppose, this season so far. Obviously, the game West Brom, where the free kick was taken, the goal was given, then it was disallowed, and all that confusion occurred. And then you've got the Darren Drysdale incident at Ipswich. There's two really, really key instances there that the media have absolutely blown into a mass. Do you think that would still have been the case, Rich, if there had been fans in the stadium?
I'm going to say probably not, because of the pressures that are now within the game. And like, say, I know both of those guys, Lee Mason, smashing chap, and exactly the same with Darren. Another good referee in their own rights. Now, if I use the free kick situation to listen to everybody that's going to listen to the podcast, there is a set of basics for every referee to follow. The basics are fairly similar for all of us. And when you set up a free kick, there is an expectation of how you would go through it and how you would process the procedure and go from placement of the ball, players' positioning, the goalkeeper, communication. And so consequently, I think on that occasion, unfortunately, there was just that sort of fuzzy thought in there sort of when making the decision. Okay, let's play. And for going back to grassroots referees, I'll coach and I'll ask each referee to make sure that you don't start the game when players are not ready. And that's not written in the law. That's just part of your game management. Look after the game, look after the players, and hopefully you'll bring the game to a safe conclusion. That's what we all strive for. And on that occasion, it was just one moment, minor moment, that we saw on the screen. And so consequently, it creates discussion, debate, and it looked at as controversy, but I don't regard it as controversy. That comes back to us as referees. Get back to your basics. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget them. Remember what they mean and how to apply it. The situation with Darren and the Ipswich player, I know he won't be happy with his approach, but that was a reaction to what a player had said to him. And so consequently, I will defend that because, I think referees do need defending sometimes because they can't come out in front. Looking at Darren, he wasn't happy about what the player said.
I was talking about this with a colleague yesterday and this incident came up in discussion. And for him to react as a referee the way he did, that must have been a really personal comment that was made at him.
Yeah, I don't know what the words were that were exchanged, but we could all see the reaction. Darren wasn't happy about what the player had said to him. So I'm sure the player will never do that again to a referee.
I'm sure he won't. Moving on. But
like I say, Darren himself, he's not happy with what he did. Of course not.
No.
But I would imagine to some extent, will he regret it? Arguably, yes, because of the attention it's got. We don't go out there to seek attention. I think the scrutiny has been ramped up by the media, on my opinions of that is it does create interest. It does stimulate people's quest for football. It doesn't interest me that much. I have to admit, I will look at the incident if people are talking about it because it's a football. It's conversation further down the line in a few days with your mates. That's why I look at it. My colleagues, my friends, my family, my friends at work will say, "Did you see this? Did you see that?" I take a responsible approach towards how I look at it. And say, "Yeah, we will all make a mistake." And that's what it is. That's what Darren Drysdale did on that occasion. It's an error. It's an error in his toolbox. And like I say, I know he'll regret it. He'll never do it again. And the player won't never say those things again, as I said before.
Yeah. Okay. Next question then, Sam.
Oh, yes. This is my final one. So it's a bit of like a real life example. So say you've got a stadium full of fans and the tackle's gone in. It's like a 50-50. You're not too sure, say, like if it's a foul. The crowd noise, would that have an effect on what the referee decides to do with that decision? If it's a 50-50 decision he's not 100% sure on, would the crowd noise slightly maybe shift his decision-making to make him give the decision?
Yeah, I fully understand the question. The focus, the training, the skill level of the referee, does he blow the whistle before the fans have expressed their opinion, or is the fans' opinion just before he blows the whistle. And so I suppose if it's just before he blows the whistle, there will be people saying you're responding to the fans. But that's not the case. You know, how, you know, he's got to, he's on the move as a referee. He's got to make the decision. He's made the decision that it's a free kick. Has to do all the, you know, the simple procedure, putting whistle to the mouth and blow the whistle. So how quickly do the fans respond as regards the referee? You know, it's, it is, there is a little bit of a comparison there as regards what comes first. But sometimes it looks as though it, the whistle and the fans' reaction comes at the same time. So it's, it is down to the skill factor of the referee and his training, you know, and his competency, you know. And like I say, got no problems with any competency of match officials who I see. Let me add to that a little bit and say to you, when a referee's making a judgment, he's looking at the point of contact. The position of the feet, the position of each body, you know, is he in control of his challenge? And those are the things that are, you know, used when a referee's making a judgment. You know, challenges on the floor involve, you know, obviously involve contact. It's not simple as what people will say, but the skill sets of the referee will make a quick judgment from his angle that he's had to work to achieve and to support the judgment of what he's going to say or give. It's either a free kick or not a free kick. It's a free kick with a card, or it's not a free kick with a card. It's just a free kick. So there's lots of things to compare in there as regards, you know, the start, the training that, that match officials go through.
OK, well, Sam, hopefully that has answered the questions for your project that you're doing.
Yeah, that's really good, guys. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this, and I really appreciate it. I've got some really good stuff there. So, yeah, it was really interesting.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.